Thank you for this warm welcome, Mr. Johansson, and I would like to thank the Institute for Cultural Diplomacy for inviting me here today to share with you some of the ongoing work and activities of the Council of Europe in the area of equality and, in particular, gender equality. You may be aware of Council of Europe work in this field. For many years, the Council of Europe has contributed a number of standards and policies with regard to advancing the gender equality agenda. And two of the milestone achievements include two conventions which have made, we hope, a difference in the life of women throughout Europe and beyond. And they include the Council of Europe Convention on Preventing and Combating Trafficking in Human Beings and the Council of Europe Convention on Preventing and Combating Violence Against Women and Domestic Violence, otherwise known as the Istanbul Convention, which we hope will enter into force very soon. We expect it in the next few months. Standards and legislation and policies are very important, but we're all aware that the gender equality agenda has not necessarily gone at full speed and taken us to where we want to be. Therefore, there is more and more need for a focus on implementing those standards in practice in order to advance the equality agenda. And in this respect, in the recent couple of years, the Council of Europe has shifted its activities more towards support for the member states to implement existing standards in this area. In 2012, the Council of Europe launched what we call the Transversal Program on Gender Equality, with the main objective to provide the necessary support and activities to the member states to implement the existing treaties and other standard setting instruments. The Transversal Program includes a number of structures which all try to provide the program with the necessary support and the financial means for the implementation of its activities. And at the center of this program, we have the Gender Equality Commission with representatives from the member states. Second very important structure is the gender equality national focal points in all the 47 member states of the Council of Europe, which make sure that they bring the problems and issues arising in the member states to the focus of the work and activities of the Council of Europe in this area. And last but not least, the gender equality rapporteurs. Mainstreaming is one of the key challenges in the work in the area of gender equality. Therefore, the Council of Europe has tried to make sure that the gender equality issues make their way into the agendas and into the working activities of the other steering committees in the House, including the monitoring mechanisms. Now, the activities of the Council of Europe and its different structures, which I just listed, are guided by and framed into the context of the implementation of the Council of Europe Gender Equality Strategy 2014-2017, which was adopted by the Committee of Ministers last year with full consensus. The strategy has five principal objectives that it will target to achieve in the next 4 years, and they include combating gender stereotypes and sexism, with particular focus on media and the image of women or stereotyping in education. The second one is guaranteeing equal access of women to justice, with particular access on access to justice for women victims of violence, as well as combating or trying to resolve problems related to persistent barriers that prevent women from accessing justice, or the lack and gaps in the data and research segregated by sex. The third objective is preventing and combating violence against women. And here the focus is, of course, in our efforts to promote the signature ratification and the entry into force of the Istanbul Convention. The fourth objective builds on activities around achieving balanced participation of women and men in political and public decision making. And the fifth one is gender mainstreaming. I would just give you a little bit of an overview of ongoing work in these five objectives and the priorities that we are dealing with at the moment. In the area of stereotyping, which is combating gender stereotyping and sexism, we organized last year a conference in the Netherlands. It was hosted by the Netherlands with the participation of representatives from all the 47 member states, media, journalists, private sector, and so on. And it dealt with a number of issues evolving around stereotyping and sexism, lack of leadership of women in the media, gender equality and freedom of speech, the new technologies as a way to advance the gender equality agenda, and so on. Now, the advantage of such gatherings are that not only did the member states and their representatives bring to the table the problems that they face in dealing with this issue, but there is also an opportunity to exchange good practices and experiences. And after the conference, a compilation of such good practices was made available to the member states to support them in their work to deal with this issue. The conference came also with a number of recommendations on what should member states do in order to combat sexism and gender stereotypes, whether it is building alliances between the states and the media, whether it is about putting in place measures to promote leadership of women in the media sector, or whether it is about awareness raising and education and how to combat such stereotypes from an early age. There is a report on this. I have put a few copies down there. You would find them on your desk if they are of interest to you. In the second objective, which is guaranteeing equal access of women to justice, our work at the moment is focused in three main areas. The first one is collecting more information and data with regard to a lack of access to justice for women victims of violence. And in this respect, a hearing organized in Paris in December last year again tried to identify some of the key issues around this area. What are the main barriers that women victims of violence face when they try to access justice? And it came up with a number of recommendations and conclusions which were made available to the member states, and yet again a compilation of good practices in all the 47 member states, or at least most of them, which provided us with such information, which has been made available for reference in future work. A second activity on this particular objective will take place in June in Paris this year, and it will focus on how to deal with this gap, which has clearly been identified with regard to lack of data and research segregated by sex. It's obviously very difficult to get the information and to have a clear picture of the situation in the member states if you do not have data. And it will bring together representatives of several regional and other international organizations in order to try to coordinate and come up with some recommendations for future work in this area. Last but not least, again, in this particular area of work, next year we will organize another event which will focus on persistent barriers that women face when they try to access justice, and also come up with a summary of all the three activities under this particular objective. The first one is violence against women and domestic violence. And as I mentioned earlier on, our main area of work in this particular field of action is promotion of the Istanbul Convention. Very briefly to you, a little bit of information for those of you who are not aware with this convention. It is the first legally binding treaty in Europe, and in terms of its scope, it's the most advanced treaty internationally. And it evolves around the four traditional pieces which have become a standard now for any new legally binding document, and that is the first P, prevention of violence, the second one is protection of victims, the third one is prosecution of perpetrators, and as I say, the fourth P is slightly to the right, because we talk about integrated policies when dealing with the issue of violence against women. One of the added value of the convention is, of course, in the fact that violence against women now, for the state parties, those countries that will ratify and adhere to the convention, protecting women and taking measures to prevent violence becomes an obligation, a legal obligation. It's no longer a matter of goodwill to take action in this particular area. It also introduces a whole set of new criminal offenses which were not covered by any previous treaty in this area, such as, for example, physical and psychological violence, stalking, sexual violence including rape, sexual harassment, forced marriage, female genital mutilation, forced abortion, and forced sterilization. With regard to progress with signatures and ratifications, we're advancing relatively very well. The convention opened for signature only 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago, on the 11th of May in Istanbul, Turkey, which is where the name of the convention comes from. And so far we have 24 member states that have signed the convention and 9 member states that have ratified, Spain only last week. With the 10th signature, which we hope will be coming soon, there is a period of 3 months to prepare the formal entry into force of the convention, and after that the setting up of the monitoring body, the group of experts, GREVIO, which will ensure that the member states comply with the obligations contained in the convention. There is interesting information with regard to how the convention has already become a common policy framework for the member states of the Council of Europe, despite the fact that it has yet to enter into force. And this information comes from the fourth round of monitoring of the analytical of the Committee of Ministers recommendation on the protection of women against violence. And since the monitoring of this recommendation began in 2005, obviously there has been quite some progress with regard to converging policy and legislation in all the Council of Europe member states, a trend towards criminalizing more and more forms of violence against women, including forced marriage and stalking. The comprehensiveness of a national policy to prevent and combat violence against women has increased. More member states are setting up national coordinating bodies to deal with the issue of violence against women and domestic violence. There is an increase in efforts on the side of the member states to invest more in education and in training of professionals, and more and more efforts also to include a part of the awareness raising efforts in the education curriculum from the very early age. However, the report also shows that there is still a long road to go and quite a few challenges ahead, in particular with regard to the fact that only one of the forms of violence against women that should be penalized, and that is physical violence, is criminalized by 46 of the 47 member states of the Council of Europe. Other forms, including rape and sexual violence, are not universally criminalized. Only 4 member states have national policies that address all 9 forms of violence against women, for which specific measures have been put in place. However, 5 member states still have in place policies and strategies that target violence within the family or domestic violence unit only. The vast majority of the member states are not able to provide figures regarding the allocation of sufficient financial resources to address violence against women, while financial commitment, we know all, is crucial to ensure legislation and policies are effectively implemented. In about a third of member states, the provision of shelter beds, specifically for women and children victims of domestic violence, is very low compared to the recommended standards. Provision of specialized services for women victims of sexual violence, in particular medical and psychological support, advice concerning possible legal redress, and empowerment towards the recovery is still lagging behind the provisions for victims of domestic violence. As I mentioned, while those data and this information that we have collected from 46 out of the 47 member states on the basis of a questionnaire which was revised to reflect the key provisions of the Istanbul Convention, while there is this trend of converging policies and building them around the Istanbul Convention, the gaps are still there with regard to the measures to be put in place by the member states. So there is still a lot of challenges ahead and a long way to go before we can talk about fully comprehensive measures to combat violence against women and domestic violence in all the member states. There is more information about this, the findings of this report. It's available on the website of the Council of Europe for those that may wish to take a look. To conclude, I just wanted to stress that in our work and efforts to achieve the objectives as outlined by the strategy of the Council of Europe, we're working very closely in cooperation and coordination with other regional and international organizations in order to ensure synergies, but also build on the added value that each and every one of those actors in this area has to offer, and to avoid any duplication and unnecessary efforts. So I will stop there and will be happy to take a couple of questions, if there are any. Thank you.